We're going to be in 2 Peter chapter 1. That's where we're going to be, 2 Peter chapter 1. And we're going to read the first 15 verses in 2 Peter chapter 1. And when you've found your place there, I'd ask you to stand if you're able to, as we reverence the Word of God being read this morning. All right. Most of you are there. We're going to go ahead and start our reading in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus, and Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. Let's have a quick word of prayer. I'll be seated, and then we'll jump right in. Lord, thank you for the morning you've given us. Thank you for the time. I pray that you bless the message this morning. Thank you for already allowing us to read your word, and what a blessing that is, God, to have the truth right here in front of us, to read it, God, and be able to glean from it is an awesome thing. I pray that you be with our pastor, the family, and Ava, Lord, as they're away, and I just pray that you be with them, give them safe travels back, and just give Ava just a good semester there at Heartland, Lord. Thank you for getting her a job, and I just pray that you just bless this time that we have now together. We love you, and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated. Thank you for standing. I appreciate that very much. how many of you have worked nursery before sometime in your life? Well, I guess some of you had kids, right? Babies or little kids, dealt with babies. There's a common toy that babies play with. Maybe you've seen it. It's like a long stick, and then, you know, straight up, and then at the bottom there's like a ring that's pretty long, pretty big, and then there's a smaller ring that goes on top of that, and there's a smaller ring that goes on top. You know, we had one back in Oregon that for the kids, I wasn't playing with it, right? It's for the kids. Big ring gets smaller and smaller, and at the very top there's a little ball that goes on top, and it's got a little smiley face on it. So I don't know if the idea is once you get it right and then you put the smiley face on top, it's like, good job, you did it. I don't know. Fun kind of toy. But when I remember seeing that toy and thinking, man, that's kind of like 2 Peter a little bit, how the Bible talks about adding to your faith, right? And you kind of have this foundation laid, and you have, the first one, add to your faith virtue, right? And then you add to virtue knowledge, and then temperance, and patience, and godliness, and all these things, you know? And then I remember thinking, man, if you do all that, then you'll be happy in Jesus, amen? So we'll smiley face thing right there on top. I remember looking at that and thinking, what a great illustration that is. You know, and really, as silly as it might sound, that's a really good representation of what it's like for us. You know, out of order, right? You're not supposed to put that little smiley face on top until until you get it right. So not having those rings stacked that way, you can find yourself maybe a little frustrated at the Christian life. And not just frustrated, we're going to talk about what that looks like here in a little bit. Looking at that toy, it kind of made me think of this. Now, this passage of scripture here, it says, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith. So talking to believers, right, folk who believe in the risen Lord. It says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and our Jesus Christ our Lord. Verse 3, look at this. It says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. So essentially, in Christ, as a saved person, right, God has given us everything that we need, right, to live godly in a corrupt, you know, sinful world. Does that make sense? You know, you think of the sinner, the Lord's Prayer, right? Our Father, which art in heaven, right? Thy will be done here as it is in earth. It's kind of this idea that our God, who is holy and who's up in heaven, has a way of operating things. And it's almost like down here, we're called to operate in that way, you know, while we're here. And God's given us all the tools that we need to live godly in this world. Now, does that mean we can be perfect? Like, absolutely not, right? We're sinful. God says, be holy as I am holy. Does that mean we're supposed to, like, actually be holy as he is holy? Well, no, we can't be holy as he's holy, right? Absolutely not. Like, it's a standard, right? And we attempt to reach that standard, but we can't be holy as Christ. God is holiness, right? We can't attain that. That's like Michael Jordan, you know, saying, be a basketball player as I am a basketball player. Like, you probably can't do that, but it's a standard and you could shoot for it, you know? But really, be holy as I am holy. And really, it's like we're called to, we have everything that we need to do that. Now, here's something I want to make known about this passage of Scripture, though. It says in verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So again, having God's salvation and having these promises that God's given us, it's now our responsibility to add to this. And then he goes through this list. Giving all diligence, right? So our responsibility is something we have to work at, because God does not call us just to be saved and then be taken to heaven someday. He saves us and he sets us on course to live a certain way in this life. And there's reasons for why he's doing that. But as we talk about these first, verse 5 says, giving all diligence, add to your faith, right? Faith being that reliance upon Christ for your salvation. God wants more than just relying on us to on him to save us. He wants us to be more like him by adding to our faith. Virtue meaning manliness or excellence. And to virtue, knowledge or knowing. Right, Pastor talks often about us understanding our faith and having reasons why we believe what we believe. Right, Peter would say, giving an answer to every man that asketh the reason that for the hope that is in us. That means we should have the knowledge of an answer, right? So, adding to our virtue knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance or self-control. We know in our world that's kind of a difficult thing to have anymore is self-control, being able to just say, I don't need this thing right now. When our world says, I should have what I want when I want it, and God calls us to live differently than that in this world. Patience. Patience meaning enduring or cheerful endurance, right? Talking about that hope that we have in Jesus Christ until he returns. Being patient. Godliness, it says. Holiness. Piety. Not fake or being religious, but one of sanctification that chooses to live according to God's word. Brotherly kindness. Brotherly affection. That means love for the brethren. This means not having aught with one another, but loving one another. Not having things in our lives that would put us at distance with each other, right? But making sure that those things are all set in order. That if you have an issue with somebody, you go to that person and you explain those things and you work them out because you want to have a proper relationship with God. You have a proper relationship with God and you have a proper relationship with other people. If you don't have a proper relationship with people, you don't have a relationship with God. And then here at the end here it says, and to brotherly kindness, charity. And charity, that word charity means love, but it means more of like a love feast, right? Like a abounding love, a sacrificial love for one another. Not just like, hey, we go to church together and I know you, you know me, right? But we hurt when each other hurt. We pray for each other. We feel for each other. We're there for each other. It goes beyond just being a simple acquaintance, right? And you think, well, I mean, I'm not related to any of these people in here. We just go to the same church. Right, right. But Jesus Christ is our Lord. We're brothers and sisters in Christ, you know, and it's a great thing to have a church family. It's a better thing to have a church family where love abounds, you know, and there's charity practiced. You know, and all of these things that it's saying add to is not saying sit around and then God's going to add these to your faith. He's saying you need to have a relationship with God and then practice these things. Add to your faith virtue, excellence in all that you do, knowledge, studying the Word of God, learning about Him, patience, temperance, practicing self-control, godliness, being separated, like not doing what the world does, but choosing to live differently. All of these things are things that we can do, showing brotherly kindness to each other, overall showing love. And the Bible says in verse 8, if these things be in you and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now this word knowledge here is different than the word earlier. So I want you to think about this for a second. The word earlier talking more about a head knowledge. This is not much of a head knowledge, but this is more of a recognition is what it is. It could almost read it this way, to say, and to knowledge, temperance, temperance, patience, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren or unfruitful in understanding who Jesus is, acknowledging his presence in your life. And we know that because there's a lot of issues going on with false teachings at this time that Peter's writing. And he's saying, if you add to your faith, you're not going to be unfruitful in understanding who God is in your life. And that's a big thing because a lot of people who don't add to their faith start having issues about God and saying, is God really up there? Am I really saved? And you start having these kind of doubts because you're not adding to your faith. And verse 9 says that. It says, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. He's talking to believers here. He's saying, it's not saying that you're not saved anymore. It's just saying that it's like you're blind and you cannot see afar off and you've forgotten that you're purged from your old sins. The person who does not stack those rings, right, who does not have faith, or that has faith but does not add virtue, temperance, all of these things, does not have that proper understanding or that recognition of who Jesus is in his life, right? If you do those things, you'll see God's hand at work, you'll see him moving, you'll have a proper relationship with him, you'll kind of solidify your understanding of who God is. But as you choose, right, as you make a choice not to add to your faith those things, it's like you're blind and you can't see what God's doing. And it's like you've forgotten that you're purged from your old sins. And verse 10 says this, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. So it's up to us to be diligent to add to our faith, to solidify our understanding of who God is in our lives. Because you and I both know that there's folks that we know who are saved and have backslidden, and they have a million reasons for that, for why they got out of church, right? Well, God just wasn't doing this, or God just wasn't doing that. And you could confront them about that, and you could say, well, how was your Bible study, or how was your relationship with God? And they say, well, maybe it wasn't the best. And that right there is the issue. That's the biggest issue. You don't add to your faith, right? Eventually, you're going to try this life on your own. You're not going to add to your faith. You're just going to walk this life. You're going to try to do it yourself. And before long, issues are going to happen. Things aren't going to go the way that you think they should. But rather than having your calling and election sure because you've been building upon your faith and being temperate and doing all the things that God wants you to do, and you're going to sit there and wonder, is God really with me? Is this God thing really real? Why would all this be happening? When the person who lives for God day in, day out, understands and has confidence and recognition of who God is, when those things happen, they say, well, they're happening, but at least I know my God very well, and I know that he's right here with me, and there's no doubts in their mind. They're not blind. They're not afar off. They're not understanding what's going on. They're very well understanding of what God is perhaps not doing in their lives. You may say, God, I don't know why I'm going through this, but that's not really, you know, the question here. The question is, God, I don't know why you're doing it, but I know who you are. And that's really where you need to be. And you can know who God is when you choose to add to your faith. When God says, all right, I've saved you, and you've put your trust in me for salvation. Now I want you to do your part, and I want you to add to your faith virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience and godliness and brotherly kindness and charity. Start adding these things together, because if you add these things and you abound, you will not be barren or unfruitful in understanding who God is. But he that lacketh these things is afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Right? And it's like, this isn't God's fault that we're not choosing to make our calling and election sure. This is not our fault that these things are happening. All right. Verse 11, 12, we'll read through these quickly. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Right, so he's admonishing them about all the things you just talked about. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. Right? So he's essentially saying, I'm not always going to be here. Some of you in here who are aged, right, as the Lord would say, in the faith. Thank you, Brother Tim, for raising your hand. You're not always going to be around, right? That's not God's plan. It's appointed unto man once to die, and we might not like the sound of that. But at the same time, it's all the more reason for us to live for God now while we can, while we have breath on this earth. But he's saying to the younger generation, we need to keep this going. Keep what going? The idea of a Christian that is not just saved, but that adds to his faith. The idea of a Christian that's not just doing nothing, but is diligently adding to his faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, all these things. See, the Christian that would make his calling and election sure. That kind of authentic Christian. The Christian that God wants you to be. Not the Christian that just coasts, but the Christian that says, I need to be more involved in my relationship with God. We need these kind of Christians. Got an illustration for you here. This is not something that was original with me, so I'll give credit to my homiletics teacher back in school for this one, but I think it really works. And some of you may remember this tragedy in the United States on November 21st, 2012. Some of you are probably already going, yeah, I know exactly what that is. That was when Hostess and the famous Twinkies were no longer being produced anymore. Twinkies stopped being made. Do we remember that? Do we all remember when Twinkies were not being produced, and then Twinkies all of a sudden that people had were on eBay for like $1,000. People trying to get their hands on Twinkies, right? Gotta have those Twinkies, gotta have them. And essentially what happened is this. They go bankrupt and now everybody's sad, right? We all want Twinkies. Where are the Twinkies? We want Twinkies. Well, turns out that if you like Twinkies that much, you don't want them to go bankrupt. You actually have to buy some Twinkies, right? or they're going to go bankrupt. So what does that mean? Well, that means, thankfully, oops, wrong page of my notes, they were bought back, right? And we got our precious Twinkies again in July of 2013. But here's what that's what that turns out to be, is it turns out that wanting something, just wanting it enough, doesn't mean that it's always going to be around, right? So you can sit there and be like, I love Twinkies. I had Twinkies as a kid. I don't want Twinkies to go away. Well, then you might have to buy some. We can't just all sit here and be like, we love Twinkies. I hope they just always stay around. It's like, yeah, but they also need to be bought so that they can stay in business. And that's just the way it is. For Twinkies to be in business, people need to buy Twinkies. And they were brought back in 2013, so our perpetual suffering would end, which is great. But people wanted Twinkies to be there, but not enough to buy them so that they wouldn't go out of business. You see what I'm saying? Like that's the whole idea. And it's kind of a silly illustration, but I can say it this way. Some of us in here want authentic, sold-out Christians to be a part of this world, but not enough to actually act or be an authentic Christian. And authentic Christianity can die out just like Twinkies died out. So how do we stop authentic Christians from dying out? Well, it's the same way we stop Twinkies from not being sold. You participate. Satan could say, I got this whole world. But if you choose today that you will be an authentic Christian who adds upon his faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, all these things, if you choose today to be that authentic Christian, then there will always be authentic Christianity in this world. But it's not just enough for us all to sit here and say, you know what? Brother Tim's doing such a great job. And I can see in his life God's working. I can see that he's just really sold out for God. And I'm so thankful for Brother Tim. And I am thankful for Brother Tim, but let me tell you this. Brother Tim's not always going to be around. These other spiritual leaders, our pastor's not always going to be around. Brother Steve's not always going to be around, right? All these men, right, who are here that are spiritual giants aren't always going to be around. So if you're the Christian who's not adding to your faith every day, and you're just saved, and you're just choosing to do the bare minimum because you just want to get carried along, I'm telling you, someday, authentic Christianity is going to go off the scene, and we're going to say, man, I really wish we had some real authentic Christians. I really wish we had some sold-out Christians. It's like, yeah, me too. So you have to be that. Do you understand? It's not enough to just want sold-out Christians to be in this world. It's not enough just to want sold-out Christians here at Valley Avenue Baptist Church. Like, God is saying, you need to be that authentic.